Good evening. If you'd like to take your Bibles, you can turn to Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. We'll be looking at that in just a moment. I'm going to be doing something I have never done before, and that is preach a lesson on the Quran. And Debbie asked me, was I ready? And I said, well, we'll see. But I'm glad that you're here tonight. It's very important for us, I believe, to not only know what we believe, but to be aware of other beliefs so that we can accurately talk with them and also try to convert them to the truth. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1 through 2, God in these last days has spoken to us in His Son. And there are many religious books in the world. There is the Quran that Muhammad claims to be given to him by the angel Gabriel. There's also the Book of Mormon. But we sing the song, Give Me the Bible. This is God, the mind of God in human language. This is the light that will guide us to heaven. And the reason I believe that it is important to have an understanding of the Muslim religion is that Islam, which means submission, has over 1.57 billion Muslims in the world. One of the fastest growing religions in the world, growing about 3% a year. The word Muslim means those who submit. A Muslim is one who submits. In fact, the growth rate of Muslim populations in Holland, Germany, France, and even England, those countries may have a Muslim majority by the year 2050. And you also have heard in the news called Sharia law. Sharia means path. And the idea of the Muslims believe in combining religious and the political and secular together. And so there would be a strong inclination. In fact, the Shiite religion particularly believes that Sharia law should reign over all the earth. The word Quran or Quran is the Arabic word for the book. And it is the basis of belief of the Muslims with 144 chapters or surahs. So when you see a notation of some particular saying, it says surah, that's a chapter in the Quran. There's 144 chapters. And the creed, the basic creed of Islam is there is no God but Allah and that Muhammad is his prophet. And that particular statement is not found explicitly or concisely in the Quran. It is found in the Hadith. The Hadith are the traditions of Muhammad that were written down by those that heard and listened to him. In fact, you've heard two major branches of Islam, that is the Shiite and the Sunni. The Sunnis believe that Abu Bakr, who wrote down like the Hadith, was the true successor to Muhammad, whereas the Shiites believe that Ali, his son-in-law, was the true successor to Muhammad as the prophet. Muhammad was born in 570 A.D. and died in 632 A.D. And at 40 years old, he thought he was having these visions and revelations. His wife said, this is from God. And so he says that the angel Gabriel gave him the Quran that was written down later. Muhammad is called the seal of the prophets. And in Islam, they believe that Jesus is a prophet. He's called the apostle. Also, Adam, David, Noah, Moses, Aaron are mentioned in the Quran as prophets. However, the Quran is simply the final, ultimate, complete revelation of all this other revelation in the Old Testament and the New Testament that God has given. But Muhammad is the seal of the prophets, which means he is the greatest prophet. That is, he is greater than Jesus Christ. The five pillars of Islam is there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is his prophet. You should pray five times daily toward Mecca. You should fast in the month of Ramadan, which is the ninth month during the daylight. You should give to the poor, 2.5%, and you should make a pilgrimage to Mecca once in a lifetime. And if you've seen in the news, in Mecca, the Muslims going around this large cube, I mean, it's thousands of them. That cube is called the Kaaba. And the Kaaba, they say, is the site of a shrine that was built by Abraham and Ishmael. And that is the most sacred site in the Islamic religion. However, Jesus is God's final prophet. God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days, that is, in the final dispensation of religious history, has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom He also made the world. And He is the radiance of His glory and the exact representation of His nature. And He upholds all things by the word of His power. When He has made purifications of sins, and He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. These three verses encapsulate really a complete refutation of Islam, because it says that Islam says that God did not have a son. This says that Jesus is God's son, and that He is God's final prophet. He is prophet, priest, and king. He speaks for God. He brings us to God. In Islam, there is no sacrifice. And that He rules, or He sits down at the right hand of God, and He is the ruler because He has the same divine nature as the Father. So He is prophet, priest, and king. In the book of Hebrews itself, the theme is that Jesus is better than the law of Moses. God, Jesus' word to His apostles and prophets. If Jesus is the final prophet, then what about the apostles and the other prophets? Aren't they later prophets? No, they are prophets and apostles sent by Jesus. John 16 says, when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. Very important verse, and talk to people at continuing revelation. There's lots of people and lots of different religions believe in continuing revelation. But this is a key verse. This Jesus says the Holy Spirit would come to the apostles and guide them into all truth. So when you have the 27 books of the New Testament, that is all truth, the full and final complete revelation of the mind of God for man. He will not speak on His own initiative, that's the Holy Spirit, but whatever He hears, He will speak. That shows the importance of speaking only as God is authorized. And He will disclose to you what is to come, and He will glorify Me. What is the point of this revelation is the centrality of Jesus Christ. For He will take of Mine and will disclose it to you. So the words of the apostles and prophets are simply the words of Jesus. The 27 books of the New Testament are all the word of Christ. And it's been once for all delivered. His faith has been once for all revealed. We are to contend earnestly, not be haphazard about, be lax concerning, indifferent about. Contend earnestly, that word it means to agonize, for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Once, never to be repeated again. Doesn't need any updates. The New Testament is God's complete and perfect guide. And this word is incorruptible. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but My word shall never pass away. Jesus made a promise that His words, by divine providence, would be preserved. They would not be corrupted, and they would not be lost. Both Mormonism and Islam says these words were corrupted. Well, what are the claims of Islam? Look, Islam claims they accept other scriptures. So you see, surah means chapter. This is a chapter in the Quran. The apostle Muhammad believes in what has been revealed to him from his Lord, and so do the believers. They all believe in Allah and His angels and His books, plural, and His apostles. Jesus is called an apostle in the Quran. And we make no difference between any of His apostles. And they say, we hear and obey our Lord. That is, they're just simply revealing God's will. Thy fit forgiveness we do crave. So they say we accept other prophets, and as I mentioned, Adam, Noah, Moses, Aaron, David are mentioned in the Quran as prophets. Jesus is called Isa in the Quran. That's the Arabic word for Jesus. And if the Old Testament and the New Testament scriptures contradict the Quran, then the Old Testament and the New Testament has been corrupted. Well, isn't that convenient? That's the exact same argument that the Mormons will make about the Book of Mormon. They'll say, because the New Testament's been corrupted, many plain and precious things have been taken away from the Lamb's Book of Life, then you have to have another prophet. I want you to remember that verse in Matthew 24, verse 35. Jesus says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but My word shall never pass away. Either He is able to perform that or His promise failed. Jesus, well, the Muslim will say that, well, Muhammad was predicted in John 16, verse 7. In the Hiram Hutto El-Dier debate, which I, one of the first debates that I got, it's from the 1970s. And if you happen to have that debate, I'm accepting donations. Okay, I would like to have another copy. I lost my copy. So, I've never asked for a donation before, so anyway. I want you to look at John chapter 16 and verse 7. This was the first argument made in the Hutto El-Dier debate. And John 16 verse 7, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. And if I do not go away, the helper, the paraclete, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And that said that Jesus sent Muhammad. How in the world did they get that? The Greek word paraclete, helper, means to call to one side, to aid, is allegedly a corruption of paraklutos, the praised one. That's the meaning of Muhammad. And they'll say that the Christians changed that, or they corrupted that, because they didn't like the idea of Muhammad. So all the manuscripts after Muhammad came on the scene, they said they changed it. The only problem is there's no manuscript evidence on for that. In fact, that's a picture of the Bodmer Papyrus, the oldest copy of the Gospel of John. Some date it to 175 A.D. to 200 A.D., the earliest copy of the Gospel of John. There's no manuscript evidence that has Paracletos. That's all Paraclete, the helper. And that predates Muhammad by over 300 years. So that's just something that's made up out of thin air. There's no substance of that whatsoever. Islam says you are lost if you do not accept Muhammad as a prophet. And Jesus says he is the only way to be saved. And the Quran, it says, and whoever does not believe in Allah and his apostle, the apostle is Muhammad, then surely we have prepared burning fire for the unbelievers. And whoever desires a religion other than Islam, it shall not be accepted from him. And in the hereafter, he shall be one of the losers. But Acts 4:12 says, there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. 2 Peter 1:3 talks about the completeness of the religion of Jesus Christ. His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Everything, everything we need in the New Testament of Christ. Complete and sufficient for life and for faith. Through the true knowledge of Him, that's Jesus Christ, who called us by His own glory and excellence. What does the Quran say on Jesus? It says that Jesus was created. The Quran says, surely the likeness of Jesus is with Allah as the likeness of Adam. He created him from dust and then said to him, be, and he was. Jesus is a created being. And that's what the Jehovah's Witnesses believe too. Jesus is eternal though. In the beginning of time, was, past tense, the Word. The Word had existed before the beginning of time. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That is in the same nature as God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Jesus cannot be created because He created all created things. He existed prior to all created things. So He is eternal. The Quran says Jesus is not the Son of God. Do not speak lies against Allah, but speak the truth. The Messiah, Jesus, Son of Mary, is only an apostle of Allah and His Word. Allah is only one God. Far be it from His glory that He should have a son. But God said of Jesus, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I think it's a misunderstanding that Jesus as the Son of God, I think, which reveals His dual nature, the dual nature of Jesus, that He is divine, He is in the same family as God. He is, Colossians 2:9 says, He is the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. But it also speaks of His role. He is submissive to the Father. So Jesus is the most unique being. God became flesh, as the Bible says, in Jesus Christ. He is in the divine family. That's why the Jews wanted to stone him. But he is, his role is submissive to the Father. That's what it means that Jesus is the Son of God, not created. The Quran says Jesus was not crucified. They're saying, surely we have killed the Messiah. They did not kill him, nor did they crucify him, but it appeared to them so. It was an illusion. Nay, Allah took him up to himself, and Allah is mighty and wise. He wasn't crucified. You know, Tacitus, the Jewish historian, says in his annals that Jesus was crucified under Pontius Pilate. A secular historian says that. But Jesus was crucified for our sins. And this is important because in Islam there is no sacrifice for sin. He, Jesus, humbled himself to the point of death, even the death of the cross. This is the blood of the covenant which is shed for the forgiveness of sins. So Jesus obviously was crucified, and he was crucified in order to secure redemption. This is important because you remember that the Islam says, well, it's just the Quran's a continuation of the Old Testament and the New Testament. That cannot be. In the Quran it says, say, O my servants, do not despair of the mercy of Allah. Surely Allah forgives the faults altogether. Surely he is the forgiving and the merciful. Okay, in the Quran, how does God forgive sin? There is no sacrifice. There's no sacrifices made in Islam. In the New Testament and in the Old Testament, it says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Hebrews 9:22 and Leviticus 17 both say that blood, that is the life of an innocent given on behalf of the guilty, to satisfy justice, the penalty of sin is death. Therefore, in Islam, which it's kind of hard to define, how do you know that you're saved or how are you saved? It's basically by works. And really, in Islam, you can't really be sure that you've done enough, or maybe you've left something off, because they really believe in works salvation, not reliance on the blood of Christ. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Is the Quran a religion of peace? You know, moderate or modern Muslims really are trying to modernize Islam to make it really more acceptable to society. I believe the groups like the Taliban and Al-Qaeda are trying to restore the original intent and teaching of the Quran. O believers, take not Jews and Christians as friends. O prophet, make war on the unbelievers and the hypocrites. Be harsh with them. Their ultimate abode is hell. Now, the typical response of Muslims when they talk about fighting and killing and slaying the infidel and cutting off his head and cutting off his fingers, they'll say, oh, that's only defensive wars if you've first been attacked. And there are a few verses in the Quran that you can clearly see that, but the context in the book of, in the Quran is very hard. It's very hard reading because it jumps around. It's just a collection of different sayings. It's hard to get the context, and there's no historical narrative. So you've got all these jumbled up sayings in the Quran. And it just says to make war on the unbelievers. In contrast to that, the word of Christ is truly the peaceful religion. Love your neighbor, and that's anybody that's near to you, as yourself. Save others, snatching them out of the fire. In fact, Islam says to basically be friendly with Muslims and refrain from harming someone that what you would not wish done to yourself. Whereas Jesus, the teaching of Christ, says you actively love others. And in fact, we should be concerned about the souls of other people. Save others, snatching them out of the fire. Slay the idolaters wherever you find them. Take them captives and besiege them and lie in wait for them in every ambush. Fight those who do not believe in Allah. Paul says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are powerful. And we are taking every thought captive to obedience to Christ. That is, the gospel of Christ teaches there is a spiritual warfare that is won by spiritual persuasion to the hearts and the conscience of men. When you meet the unbelievers in the battlefield, strike off their heads, and when you have laid them low, bind your captives firmly. But Galatians 6:10 said, let us do good unto all men. O you who believe, fight those who are unbelievers, who are near to you, and let them find in you hardness. To him who fights in the cause of God, whether he is slain or victorious, soon we shall give him a glorious or a great reward. So right in the Quran, the only way to be sure that you know you're going to paradise is to die in jihad. Jihad means to fight. But the Bible says, if possible, so far as it depends upon you, be at peace with all men. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. It's interesting that there have been, I've known of some Muslims that have been converted. The Taos were telling me up in Elgin, Illinois. One of the members of the church where Tom used to be an elder there befriended a young man who was a Muslim when he in high school. And by showing him the love of Christ, he was converted. And by being converted to Christ, his family disowned him. And in fact, he's now out at Stanford University getting his doctorate degree. But then the Christians, the church has become his spiritual family. So we need to realize that we are in a spiritual battle for the hearts and the souls of men. The religion of Christ in the New Testament is the full and final revelation of the mind of God for mankind. The Bible says, you have been born again, not of seed, which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and enduring Word of God. The Word of God that Jesus promised would not be corrupted or would pass away. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. We have put our faith, we stake our life that this is the mind of God in human language, that this is God's perfect revelation in human language, so that we might find our way to heaven through Jesus Christ. This is the word, the gospel, which was preached to you. So I'd like to appeal to you that if you're not a Christian tonight, you realize that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you want to put your faith in His sacrifice, willing to turn from sin and confess that He's Lord, we'll baptize you into Christ for the remission of sins. Why don't you come now while we stand and sing?